The History of the Leech Lake Reservation with Elaine Fleming. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Grant.
Bonjour, Indinoe Magani Dug. Bishagu Benesi Aque Indigo, Mang Indu Dame. Gao Sasquajime Cog, Induan Jaba, Mesquawako Cog Inda. Elaine Fleming Shaganashimon. Oh, it's what a good day it is to be here with you to talk about history of Leech Lake Nation and the indigenous people of Turtle Island. I want to begin this by just telling you a personal story of my family. My great-great-grandmother, her name was Marie Johnson, and she was born in Red Cliff, Wisconsin. When she was a teenager, they say that she was raped by a white man and that she was banished from the village of Red Cliff, and at that time she came to the mission area north of Cass Lake. When I heard that story, I wondered about my great-great-grandmother, and I wondered about what kinds of clothes she wore. I wondered about the foods that she ate. I wondered about the route that she would have taken. How would she have gotten here from Red Cliff, Wisconsin, to the mission area? And I really didn't know anything. I knew in Europe at the time how the women would have dressed, the kinds of transportation they had, the food that they ate. But yet for my own people, I really didn't know anything. It began me on a long journey. And I guess, too, it had to do with I used to go down to the old train bridge here in Cass Lake. And I would go down there early, early in the morning, and I would bring this pois gun that I was caring for and a hand drum, and I would pray. And one morning, when I got down there, it was foggy. A one was everywhere, all around me. And I was standing on the land, and I was looking to the north and to the east and to the west. It was Pike Bay in the channel. Everywhere was water. And I was praying really hard. And finally, I don't know how long, I finally opened my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, around me were all these spirits. They were gray in color. And they looked like women who were wearing blankets that covered their heads. And they were just numerous, just too many to even count. They were so close that if I were to reach out to them, I would even touch them. And that's what I understood then, that this land that we live in, that we live on, that our ancestors were buried here. Our ancestors came from this land. And if I were to know them, if I wanted to know them, that I could do that, and I could reach out and I could touch them. And so I've come since that time. I've come a long way, and I really still don't know a lot. This one woman described it in this way. She said, look around at the room that you're in and on the walls. The walls is all the knowledge that there is that our ancestors carried. And we really cannot know all the things that they know. What I know is just a dot on that wall of those people. And because I am a storyteller and a little bit of a historian, I want to tell you a little bit about that particular woman. This woman was of the Arikara Mandan Hidatsa Nation. And she was talking about the ancestors who had died. And she told this story. She said that there is this road, and it runs from east to west. And this road is made up of really, really fine dust. And all day long, all the time, there are people, there are these beings walking this road from east to west. And as they walk, they raise this fine, fine dust. And on the side of this road, there are all these beings who sit. And these beings who sit there are covered in this fine dust. And these people, they're missing certain parts of their bodies, like they might be missing their head, their skull, or maybe their arms or their legs. And they're sitting there and they're mourning the losses of their body parts. And so this woman, when she told this story, she was describing our ancestors who have died, the millions and millions of our people who have died, and their bodies are resting in this land that we live on. They're in the water and they're in the ground. And so we have this relationship with them. And we need to become knowledgeable about our history so that we can speak about them, so that we can know where those old burial grounds are. We can know about the flooding of the dams in the late 1800s that flooded our lakes and caused the remains of our people to float and our burial grounds to be destroyed, our wild rice beds to be destroyed, our cranberry bogs. So as a storyteller, I just wanted to share that little bit of information with you. Also wanted to talk a little bit about this town that I come from, Gamasqua Wakokog, the place of the red trees. And our city of Cass Lake is about 800 people. And when you look at the census, it showed that the typical person in Cass Lake tended to be a young single mother who was head of household. And her income was about $20,000. In reading the book Res Life by David Troyer, he says that the average income of a household on our reservation, Leech Lake, is $20,000. And that's not a lot of shunia. That's not a lot of money to support your family. Why is it that we're such poor people? Why is it that we are a people who have the highest numbers of disease in the nation for diabetes? How does history connect to our present? That's why do we study history? We study history so that we can learn about the problems that we experienced in the past so that we don't repeat them. And we also study history so that we can also see our triumphs and how resilient we are as a people, because we've come a long way. And now we're completing that circle. I think we have a great renaissance in culture right now, ever since the 70s. And going with that, we also have to learn our history so that we can learn where we've been and why we are the way we are today. And then we can also work on our future. Amiigwech, I want to thank you for listening to me today. And I'll be speaking with you again. Amiigwech.